morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, coming up today, we'll listen to some of the highlights of last night's dueling town hall presentations by Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And we'll take your phone calls, too, and ask you what you think of the answers that the candidates gave. And before we start, thanks to everybody that made a contribution yesterday and the day before during our two-day fund drive. We came up a little bit short, so we always need your help. And if you can, please make a contribution on our website today, WMNF.org. We've got two more fundraising days this month, and then we're going to take a break for 3 or 4 months and not fundraise at all. And so if you like the fact that we're planning to do just 20 days of fundraising this fiscal year instead of the usual 21, please help us out. Shorten the amount of fundraising that we do on the air by going to WMNF.org. Well, last night there were simultaneous, for the most part, town hall meetings where Joe Biden was up in Philadelphia talking with George Stephanopoulos of ABC, and Donald Trump was in Miami talking with Savannah Guthrie of NBC, and Trump took questions for an hour, Biden took questions for 90 minutes. So we're going to get a sense of what was said last night. If you were otherwise watching the ball game or whatever, you can get a sense of what was said. We're going to play some of the highlights of the two presentations, and I want to get your take on what was said. And so you can send an email into us, dj@wmnf.org. Your comments about the debate are welcome, or the town halls are welcome. And you can also call us up at 813-239-9663. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. Let's go back to last night at about 8 p.m. The town halls started, and let's listen to Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Here are some excerpts.
Did you take a test on the day of the debate, I guess, is the bottom line?
I probably did, and I took a test the day before and the day before, and I was always in great shape, and I was in great shape for the debate. As president, I can't be locked in a room someplace for the next year and just stay and do nothing. And every time I go into a crowd, I was with the parents of our fallen heroes. These people are the most incredible people. And they came up to me and they would hug me and they would touch me. And I'm not going to not let them do it.
When a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important.
After contracting COVID-19 yourself, has your opinion changed on the importance of mask wearing?
No, because I was okay with the masks. I was good with it, but I've heard many different stories on masks.
If you listen to the head of the CDC, he stood up and he said, you know, while we're waiting for a vaccine, and he held up a mask. You wear this mask, you'll save more lives between now and the end of the year than if we had a vaccine.
I knew it was a big threat. At the same time, I don't want to panic this country. I don't want to go out and say, everybody's going to die.
Isn't there a middle ground? You don't have to mislead, but you can.
No, there's not a middle ground. You have to be safe, you have to be vigilant, and you have to be smart.
Besides, you ain't black. What do you have to say to young black voters who see voting for you as further participation in a system that continually fails to protect them?
Well, I say, first of all, as my buddy John Lewis said, it's a sacred opportunity and right to vote. You can make a difference. If young black women and men vote, you can determine the outcome of this election. Not a joke. You can do that.
Mr. President, what will you and your administration do to better prepare our law enforcement officers to work in collaboration with the communities that they serve and also to protect the lives of innocent black and Latinos from police brutality and injustice?
Right. I fully understand the question. And I saw everything that you saw over the summer, and it was a terrible thing to watch. And some people don't like it when I say it, but a lot of people agree. I have done more for the African-American community than any president, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln.
You said you don't want to ban fracking. As you know, it's an important issue here in Pennsylvania. Not everyone buys your denial. A member of the Boilermakers Local 154, Sean Steffi, was quoted in the New York Times today saying, you can't have it both ways. He says you can't meet your goal to end fossil fuels without ending fracking. What do you say to people like Sean who doubt your denial because they think you want to keep that promise?
Well, tell them the Boilermakers overwhelmingly endorse me, okay? What I would do is I would stop giving tax breaks and subsidizing oil.
We don't need to subsidize oil any longer, number one. We should stop that and save billions of dollars over time. What I would also do with regard to, there's no, the difference between me and the new Green Deal, they say automatically by 2030, we're going to be carbon free. Not possible.
So are you for it or against it? You say you're not for it, but in your website it says you call it a crucial framework.
My deal is a crucial framework.
I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning down our cities that are run by Democrats who don't know what they're doing.
While we're denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon.
I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. What I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia, and I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that, and I agree with it.
But there's not a satanic pedophile cult.
I have no idea. I know nothing about
that. You don't know that? Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
You just
and neither,
this week.
Neither do you know that.
Okay, just this week, you retweeted to your 87 million followers a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden orchestrated to have SEAL Team 6, the Navy SEAL Team 6, killed to cover up the fake death of bin Laden. Now, why would you send a lie like that to your followers?
It.
You retweeted
it. That was a retweet. That was an opinion of somebody, and that was a retweet. I'll put it out there. People can decide for themselves. I don't take a position.
You're not like someone's crazy uncle. Your own FBI director says there is no evidence of widespread fraud.
Oh, really? Well, then he's not doing a very good job.
If I'm elected president, you will not hear me race baiting. You'll not hear me dividing. You'll hear me trying to unify. And unify with, bring people together. When I said I was running because I wanted to unify the country, people said, well, there are the old days. We better be able to do it again.
Agreed.
We better be able to do it again.
Mr. Vice President, if you lose, what will that say to you about where America is today?
Well, it could say that I'm a lousy candidate and I didn't do a good job. But I think, I hope that it doesn't say that we are as racially, ethnically, and religiously at odds with one another as it appears.
Joe Biden last night at one of the town halls. He was in Philadelphia. President Trump was in Miami last night and taking questions from the audience. So what did you think? Did you watch the town halls? And what did you think of the answers? Was your mind changed at all? Did you hear something that you wanted to know more about? What did you think about the host who moderated the debate? And again, your comments are always welcome. You can call us about this at 813-239-9663. Also, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Suzanne writes this about the town halls. She said, I watched Biden and I taped Trump so I could fast forward if I was getting too nauseated. I wish they would fact check so many Trump lies. I believe there was a plant in the audience. The woman of color behind Trump nodded in agreement with every single thing he said, sending out a subliminal message that was very sad. Right, Suzanne. I did notice that too. There was a woman behind Donald Trump, and she seemed to agree with everything he said. And she kept nodding her head yes over and over again. And I wondered if that was, if the Trump campaign picked that woman to sit behind Trump during the debate. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're going to get deeper into some of those answers, including the answers to the SEAL Team 6 question and the QAnon question. So stick around. We'll hear more of the debate. That was just an overview right there. Charles writes this, do the Dems not want to win? Whoever agreed to stadium seating where Biden looks unhinged, looking up and away at the audience, whereas Trump is on the ground looking directly into the camera. I give up, writes Charles. Yeah, it was weird watching Biden because he was sitting below the people and always had to look up, and he did look strained. I think that was absolutely true, and his staff should be held accountable for that. I think if the woman was placed behind Trump to show agreement, I think the Trump campaign gets extra points for that because they did something to help their candidate. The Biden people didn't help their candidate by having Biden look up at the crowd if he was in some sort of amphitheater and at the bottom of the amphitheater. And again, you can send your email comments into dj@wmnf.org. One of the first questions that came out in the NBC program was President Trump was pressed on testing and how often he gets tested. And listen to his answer here and see if it's clear to you how often the president is tested and when he first came down with COVID-19. That's a good song, but let's play this. Here's more from last night's town hall.
Well, let's talk about testing because sure. There's a little bit of a, I guess, confusion about this, and I think we can clear it up.
Yeah, and there shouldn't
be. Your first positive test was Thursday, October 1st, okay? Mm-hmm. When was your last negative test? When did you last remember having a negative test?
Well, I test quite a bit, and I can tell you that before the debate, which I thought it was a very good debate, and I felt fantastically, I had no problem before.
Did you test the day
afterwards.
Of the debate?
I don't know. I don't even remember. I test all the time, but I can tell you this. After the debate, like, I guess, a day or so, I think it was Thursday evening, maybe even late Thursday evening, I tested positive. That's when I first found out.
Well, back to the debate, because the debate commission's rules, it was the honor system, would be that you would come with a negative test. You say you don't know if you got a test on the day of the debate?
I have no problem. Again, the doctors do it. I don't ask them. I test all the time. And
did you take a test, though, on the day of the debate?
You know, if you ask the doctor, they'll give you a perfect answer, but they take a test and I leave and I go about
my
business.
Did you take a test on the day of the debate, I guess, is the bottom line?
I probably did, and I took a test the day before, and I was always in great shape, and I was in great shape for the debate, and it was only after the debate, like a period of time after the debate, that I said, that's interesting, and they took a test and it tested positive.
So just to button it up, do you take a test every single day?
No, but I take a lot of tests.
Okay, and you don't know if you took a test the day of the debate?
Possibly I did, possibly I didn't. But, you know, the doctor is very accurate information. And it's not only that doctor, it's many doctors. The one thing, if you're president, you have a lot of doctors you're surrounded by. But I was in great shape for the debate. And sometime after the debate, I tested positive. That's when they decided to let's go.
Okay, good. I hopefully provided some clarity for folks.
Now, was that clear? Are you clear how often the president is tested and when he got tested first for COVID-19? Was it 24 hours after the debate? Are you clear on what his answer was? Again, our phone number 813-239-9663. And you can also send a comment into dj@wmnf.org. Let's listen to the president. He was pressed on who he owes money to. And after the New York Times reports on his holdings and his lack of paying taxes for 10 of the last 15 years, he was pressed last night about who he still owes money to, because people are worried that if he owes money to people, would he have to treat those people somehow favorably as president? That's one of the concerns. So let's listen into the answer to the question, who does Donald Trump owe money to?
I want to say two things. Number one, it's a very small amount of money. Number two, it's very straight. It's very, very straight. But it's a tiny percentage of the worth. Did you ever hear the expression underlevered?
Yeah.
I am extremely underlevered.
Well, here's the thing. You could clear this up tonight by just releasing your tax returns yourself. I mean, what I understand. I think people are just wondering.
As you know,
you're
I'm
the only.
It turned out that I am underaudit.
Yes,
they
IRS
actually.
Says,
excuse
you are.
Me. No, but you
the
accused,
IRS says that doesn't stop me from releasing.
But you accused me of not being underlevered. Underaudit previously, and so did other people at NBC, and I am underaudit. So that was solved. That's good. I am underaudit. No person in their right mind would release prior to working out the deal with the IRS. And I'll go a step further. I'm treated very badly by the IRS. They treat me very, very badly. You have people in there from previous administrations. They treat me very badly. But we're underaudit. It's very routine in many ways, but we're under audit. They like to change the game, change the rules, do everything. You saw what they did with the Tea Party people. You saw what they did with the religious
group. But to be clear, there is no law or rule that prohibits you from releasing your tax returns.
No, except common sense and intelligence and having lawyers that say, because I would love to release them, and as soon as we come to a conclusion, I will release them, and very gladly. But if you go to elections, and if you take a look, you'll see 112. think it's 112. It talks about the income, which is rather massive. It talks about all of the properties. They have them listed. You can never learn more. But you know what happened? People went there. All the reporters went. There was like a feeding frenzy. This was originally when I filed it. And I file it every year. I update it every year. My son is here. They run the company. I don't run the company.
You know, also says that you paid $750 in taxes in the year you were elected.
Yeah,
is that true or not?
That's a statutory number. It's a statutory.
But is that true?
I think it's a filing number. You pay $750. It's a filing
or
a filing fee.
Most people here probably
pay
more.
No, I don't know. I can tell you this. If they have my tax returns, as you know, they have to go to jail. It's illegal. But their numbers were wrong.
President Trump last night saying the New York Times numbers were wrong. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And if you want to comment about anything that you've heard here so far, please do email us, dj@wmnf.org. We're going to listen to more of the excerpts from last night's debate. The president retweeted a conspiracy theory within the past week, suggesting that Osama bin Laden was not really killed and that members of the SEAL Team 6 who had captured and killed Osama bin Laden had been murdered. So let's listen to the president defending his retweet of that conspiracy theory.
Radical left.
Just this week, you retweeted to your 87 million followers a conspiracy theory that Joe Biden orchestrated to have SEAL Team 6, the Navy SEAL Team 6, killed to cover up the fake death of bin Laden. Now, why would you send a lie like that to your followers? You retweeted.
That was a retweet. That was an opinion of somebody, and that was a retweet. I'll put it out there. People can decide for themselves.
I don't
take a position.
You're not like someone's crazy uncle who can just retweet whatever.
That was a retweet, and I do a lot of retweets, and frankly, because the media is so fake and so corrupt, if I didn't have social media, I don't call it Twitter, I call it social media, I wouldn't be able to get the word out. And the word
is false.
And you know what the word is? The word is very simple. We're building our country stronger and better than it's ever been before. That's what's happening, and everybody knows it.
Okay, we
you
got
know what
a bunch
else
of
the
questions
word is?
For you.
We're winning in a lot of states.
Okay.
We're winning in a lot of states. You're going to see
that.
All right, so did the president answer the question directly? What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. We're listening back to some of the highlights of the town hall meetings last night with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Let's listen to Joe Biden and some of what he said about masks last night at his town hall meeting in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
No matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they matter. And when a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important. But when a president says, I think this is very important, for example, I walked in here with this mask, but I have one of the N95 masks underneath it. I left it in my dressing room, the room I was in before I got here. And so I think it matters what we say. And we're now learning that children are getting the virus, not with as serious consequences, but there's been no studies done yet on vaccines for children. So there's a long way to go, but we can make progress in the meantime and save lives. And
Joe Biden last night. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Ron in West Tampa says Trump is an illusionist, the master of creating confusion while seeming to be right on everything. He cannot speak intelligently. He is involved in delay, distract, and deny. Sadly, many Americans seem to love this dystopian adolescent Pied Piper president, writes Ron in West Tampa. All right, we're getting your comments about the debate last night. Stanley writes this: if Trump can't remember if he was tested on the day of the first debate, I would say his mental acuity is waning and do not want him in charge of important issues with his limited recall. Also, if he retweets things he claims to know nothing about, he is irresponsible for not making sure his info is accurate. And Pete writes in that Trump is somebody's crazy uncle. I think that comment comes up in the next soundbite we're about to hear. But let's take a few phone calls. 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And we'll take a few phone calls. Let's go to Bob in Tampa. Bob, thank you for calling. What did you think of the town hall last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think I just get frustrated with President Trump because he, I mean, when people, first of all, when people say, hey, you know, he's not a debater, about, he spent his whole career in front of the press and talking to people, so he knows what he's doing. And then I get frustrated when he doesn't answer a question and he talks over people. And he always ends it with, you know it and I know it and everybody knows it. And nobody calls him out on it. So it's actually nice to see that the woman last night call him out and ask for, you know, try to finalize and get an answer from the person.
Savannah Guthrie kind of held his feet to the fire.
Well, you know, it's funny, held his feet to the fire. Basically, he just said, please answer the question.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not holding your feet to the fire. That's just answer the question.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Bob, thanks. But, do you think the town hall changed anybody's mind? Did it change your mind?
No, and it's funny. My father is 83, and he's a diehard Republican, and he listens to President Trump. And my father repeats everything on Fox News. He says the news is fake, so I don't think anything here would change my father's mind. My mind's already set. I mean, I know what I'm voting for. But I think some people are just, you know, there's camps that are stuck either way, either Biden or Trump, but I don't think there's a huge population of people that are undecided. I find that hard to believe, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a small number. Bob, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you. There's a great film about that topic that Bob brings up, and it's called The Brainwashing of My Dad. And I think you can find it for free on the internet, but take a look at it. It's the story of a woman whose dad grew up in, I think, Michigan, and he's also pretty elderly. He's in his 80s. And was a pretty regular, normal guy. And then suddenly, after watching years of Fox News, his entire personality changed, the woman reports. And the film, again, is called The Brainwashing of My Dad. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. James writes, when Trump is voted out, we will still have his zombies. They have always been around, but they stay in the septic tank. I'm afraid that they will not go back. The Democrats must grow a pair and start playing by GOP rules, writes James. 813-239-9663. You know me, I'm not a big fan of name calling. So let's take a few more phone calls and then hear some more of last night's town hall. Let's go to Greg, who's in Englewood. Greg, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Well, listen, I think that what everybody kind of misses, because you just want to hear what you want to hear. It's like, answer this question. He is answering the question, and basically he keeps alluding to it, but nobody wants to acknowledge it, that in all seriousness, this is not a joke, in all seriousness, the biggest threat this country has, and has had in a long time, is our media. Our media is causing things to happen that a terrorist group could only pray that they could do. The media is extremely out of control. They're causing mass hysteria, and it's pretty sad. At every level of the media just lets it go, because their job is to, I guess, to make money, to get sponsors, and to just get the most outrageous stuff out there and the most hurtful things. It's sad. It's sad that that's the best that our country can do as far as our responsibility of the media. And it goes on, just it's not a big deal. Everybody, oh, that's the way it is. And that's what's Trump is trying to let you know.
So he, Greg, what? Give me an example.
A joke. This whole thing is a joke.
All right. So, Greg, give me an example.
Joke.
Greg, give me an example of the where the media has done as much damage as terrorists. Of course, Greg hung up. He doesn't want to engage in a conversation. He just decided to snowflake away. Now, you can be strong about it and have a conversation, or you can be a snowflake, like Greg. Greg is a snowflake. You can have a conversation. And my first question to him would be, how has the media caused as much damage as any terrorism? And how, if the economy is going bad, let's say that Greg's position is that the media is causing people to be concerned about the coronavirus and it's not that big of a problem. If the media is doing that and the economy is really bad, the media is not going to make as much money because the economy is not that good. So the small businesses and the other businesses that are hurting, like the giant restaurant industry, they're not going to make as much money, and so they're not going to take out as many ads on the local TV station or the network. So I'm not sure that that is entirely consistent. But we don't know what Greg is actually thinking because he hung up. 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. David writes this: your guest who authored the White House Inc. book, the Forbes writer, said Trump is worth about $2.5 billion. Yes, that's right. Dan Alexander did say that. And $400 million debt is about one-seventh of his wealth. Yeah, that's exactly what my guest said the other day on Tuesday before we started the fund drive. Sound Guy writes this: when Trump supporters discovered he burned through 300 plus inheritance, he doesn't say 300 million, but I think he means 300 million, plus another 400 million from a TV show, only to wind up $421 million in debt. Is that the stable part they admire so much, or is that the genius part? Writes Sound Guy. My guest the other day said that his net worth is about $2.5 billion. So he does have money, but he has a lot of debt too. No doubt about that. 813-239-9663. Greg writes this: everything Trump does is staged, from the constant nodding by the audience member last night. Burks and Pence did it too at a COVID press conference. The doctors at Walter Reed, and when surrounded by various groups, everyone's hands are clasped the same way. It's all staged for TV. The only stage Trump should be on is the first one out of town. That's Greg's opinion. Let's go to Danny in West Tampa. Danny, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, not only is Greg a snowflake, he's a coward because he couldn't back up what he said and he hung up, and he can't take a dialogue. He's scared what you're going to ask him and debate with him. Trump is somebody's crazy uncle, Mary Trump's uncle, as a matter of fact. Mary Trump was on the other night with Cuomo saying that, let him go on making a fool of himself, dancing to the YMCA and that just cements everything that she knows about him and has always known about him. I mean, the guy is off his rocker. I mean, part of it, we don't even know if he's still infected. Maybe he's not. But it's just it's that simple. I mean, when are people going to realize that he is desperate? And it's just not working out for him, I don't think. Did you see that? Did you see what he said in the rally yesterday afternoon? I don't know if you heard it. He said some guy came up to him and said, "You know what? You're the most important person in the world." He goes, "No, I'm not." And he says, "Well, who is?" He goes, and Trump tells him, "No, up there, man, Jesus Christ." He goes, "Oh, wow." And Trump says, "Yeah, you can't be. That's a tough one to beat." He goes, "And it's not even close, but." To make sure, he's second in his opinion to Jesus Christ. Rob, you have a great weekend.
All right, Danny, I didn't see that. Thank you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We'll take a few more phone calls. We'll hear more of what was said last night. And let's go to Jeremiah, who's in Sarasota. Jeremiah, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, I wanted to speak to the media as a problem issue. And it's so concerning that entertainment and the media have gotten mixed up to the point where the dividing lines aren't clear. And it's unfortunate that so many people receive the basis of their information from entertainment sources. And I think it's so very dangerous because we only synthesize what we take in, what we observe and hear and learn. And if you're only feeding off of one channel, that's the way you're going to figure the world is.
So Jeremiah, give us an example where entertainment and media become mixed up.
Well, I just one of my favorite things to do at the gym is watch CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News at the same time, and just watch the different spins on the exact same event. I'm not assessing any blame. I'm just like to say that's what's so important about real journalism and fact-based reporting, the kind of thing that happens on this channel and with NPR. There's so many of my own friends that I respect as adults that are
functioning professionals, parents, just have this skewed view of the world based on watching, you know, one news outlet or the other, whether they're ultra liberal or ultra conservative. There's no real truth or balance to the information, it seems, or point of reference or counterpoint that they have. And it's frightening, in my opinion. And that's.
Yeah. Well, Jeremiah, thanks a lot. How would you say the people in the gym that you go to lean? Do they lean towards Fox or to CNN or to MSNBC?
I would have no idea, because that's not polite conversation. That's what
Okay, all right. I just wonder, when you walk in, where are the most channels are most people watching? But
home improvement channels mostly.
Yeah, but the non-controversial channels. Yeah,
it makes sense to me why somebody would vote third party, and to make the statistical statement that, hey, I'm not with either of these groups.
Yeah, because they're all screwed up. All right, Jeremiah, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the great call. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Rich in Bradenton, who's a Trump supporter. Rich, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Yeah, how are you? I just want to say I'm a Trump supporter. And again, catching the liberals' hypocrisy. You decry name calling, and then not 2 minutes later, you call somebody a name. I see more hate coming from the left at any time there's ever been. Your children that didn't get your way. You're not voting for Biden. You're voting against Trump.
So give us an example where the left, as you call it, is putting out hate.
Well, they're the ones protesting and burning down. They're not peaceful protesters. They intimidate people.
But what do you think is motivating them? Why do you think they're...
Amy Coney Barrett for her religion. You know it. I know it.
No, they're not going after her for religion.
They're not going after her for religion.
That's only what the Republicans said at the hearings. Nobody on the Democratic side criticized her Roman Catholic faith. Only the Republicans said you're going to hear complaints about her Roman Catholic faith, and then you're going to see they run a Bill Maher ad. The Republicans are, but nobody in the Senate criticized her faith.
Well, I'll agree to disagree with you on that one, but the
If you can give me an example, I'll wait until you can give me an example. Yeah,
you decry name calling, and then you find out.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, Rich. It was really frustrating because the guy calls up and says that the media is making money.
No.
The guy calls up. He says the media is making money off this, and I don't think that's true. But he didn't hang on for a conversation. He called up, threw a bomb, and left. And so as a talk show host, I hope you understand my frustration. Maybe I shouldn't have called him a snowflake. But how else would you describe a guy that doesn't want to engage in a conversation?
The rules, okay?
What's that? How would you describe a guy that doesn't want to engage in a conversation?
With you people, it's really hard. And by the way, Danny is the biggest pant load I've ever heard in my life.
All right. Rich, thanks a lot. Thank you. Let's try to tone it down a little bit. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Susan, who's in St. Petersburg. Susan, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes. Well, I'd like a lot of comments about how people think and all that, and it just seems to me, I mean, you know, I really, it's strange that I have a president that retweets somebody else's tweet. It reminds me of sometimes of my grandkids, not my old uncle, but, you know, somebody that's kind of immature. And that's the whole thing I've been getting from Trump. But unfortunately, some people are still fixated on him. And I don't understand why. One thing was my daughter came in and she said, well, they're doing this stuff that they're blaming the COVID on everybody that died so that way they can make the numbers be better and blah, blah, blah. And so, but the whole thing, and I said, well, okay, that could be they want to find out how many people actually have COVID, even whether they died, you know, of another reason. It's just a statistic that they need to put in. I don't know why they would put that. Maybe they're not really using it for one of the numbers, but they're using it for a purpose to let people know that it's rampant, you know. You might not have anything and you die from something else, but guess what? You did have COVID.
Yeah, it's important to know. I mean, COVID is more dangerous than the flu. It's more dangerous than often the cold. And a lot more people die from it than do die from the flu. So you want to make sure that people know that it's still spreading and we haven't reached the peak yet. You know, only about 10% of the country has been infected, somewhere around that.
Right. And, I mean, I'm wondering as far as how many people have really been tested. I haven't. You know, I haven't. I hope I have. Well, I go to work, so they, you know, they zap me, make sure I don't have a temperature. That's about it. But, you know, so we just don't know a lot about this. And I am also a little leery about how he got over it within a week and a half. And he's fine and dandy. And then his son, he got miraculously well in no time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope we all have access to the same level of medical care that President Trump has had access to, and I think that would be a good thing. Susan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, the president certainly got first-class treatment, and maybe the cocktail that he got is the cure for coronavirus, and if so, let's see if everybody in the country can get that same level of treatment. I think that would be good. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ben in Tampa. Ben, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, boss. So earlier today, you were talking to a gentleman, and he blasted off on radio and kind of got you upset. But what I think it stems from, and like you were questioning, you know, where does media stand as far as terrorism? And I think it kind of bounces back to the idea of that propaganda has been around for generations, used in multiple wars, doing either, you know, airdrops, laying pamphlets, and what we have is social media today. And so all the different platforms, not just your major cable corporations, big funded organizations, can be considered your media outlets. And it becomes with, like, ignorance is bliss. So when you would rather see it as a partisan that is against your own thought process, then you're going to find it as being propaganda, and then could therefore be, like, justified as a terroristic means to change somebody's outlook on life.
Yeah, and I think a good example of that is that, you know, I'll bet that Chris Christie, right up until 10 days ago, thought that the what MSNBC and CNN were saying about masks was propaganda. And then he came out yesterday and said, I believe the mask theory. I believe that masks are important. He was hospitalized for 5 days or 7 days. He's out of the hospital now, thankfully, and now he's a big supporter of masks. But he thought that you didn't have to wear a mask. He thought that the White House was safe. He thought that the White House was practicing safety, and he found out that none of that was true. And you know, I'm sure his favorite network is Fox.
Yeah.
So, Ben, thanks a lot.
I think it's trying to just get away from ignorance, and people don't know consistently non-biased opinions to get information from.
That's right.
Listen to NPR, you know, I'm a newer listener. It definitely does lean left as of right now. You definitely do get some conservative thoughts in there. But if you had somebody that was always listening to Fox News, like my parents, then when they heard some of the beliefs and thought patterns of people listening to NPR or the broadcast, that, you know, they would think that they're far too left and far too social.
Yeah. All right, Ben, thanks a lot. I got to say that I think the NPR newscasts that we carry are pretty straight ahead and are just talking about the issues. So they don't spin those newscasts. And sometimes I grimace at their story selection because I wish they would update it more often. But I hear you, Ben. I hear you say that you think NPR leans left. Kevin writes this regarding the discussion at the town hall last night about whether or not President Trump had been tested. Kevin writes, it sounds like Abbott and Costello's who's on first routine, writes Kevin. 813-239-9663. Let's listen to one more short soundbite from last night's town hall meeting. Here is President Trump talking about the QAnon conspiracy and whether or not he subscribes to the QAnon conspiracy.
Down our cities that are run by Democrats who don't know what
they're
doing.
While we're denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true,
so,
and disavow QAnon in its entirety?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard, but I know nothing about it.
They believe it is a satanic cult run by the deep state.
If you'd like me to study the subject, I'll tell you what I do know about. I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they're burning down cities run by Democrats, not run by Republicans.
Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, QAnon is nuts, and real leaders call conspiracy theories conspiracy theories.
He may be
Why
right.
not just say it's
Can
crazy and not true?
He may be right. I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
You Let me tell ask me you another thing.
It. Let's waste the whole show. You start off with white supremacy. I denounce it. You start off with something else. Let's go. Keep asking me these questions.
Okay.
Let me just tell you what I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia. And I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that. And I agree
but
with it.
But there's not
very
a
strongly.
Satanic pedophile.
I have no idea. I know
you don't know that?
That?
Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
You just
neither,
this
neither
week.
Do you know that.
Okay, just this week.
Why,
you
why aren't you asking me about Antifa? Why aren't you asking me
you
about
just,
the radical
you,
left?
You're
why
volunteering
aren't you
it.
Asking Joe Biden questions about why doesn't he condemn Antifa? Why does he say it doesn't exist?
Because you're
Antifa,
here
before no, she's so cute. Antifa exists. They're vicious.
All right, so that's President Trump last night. And as one of my guests said this week, Antifa maybe has killed one person in the last few months. It really, truly was an awful thing that happened. We're not sure what the exact circumstances were around that. But if you look at right-wing violence around the country in the last few years, 300 people have been killed by far-right violence in the U.S., 813-239-9663. Let's go to Brian in Sarasota. Brian, thanks for calling, and thanks for your patience, too. What would you like to say?
Well, I got a couple of things to say. About the, I always have a couple of things to say. But anyways, about the newspapers and media stores, I don't think it's so much left or right media. I think it's basically based upon your educational level. I don't listen to Fox News because it's an insult to my intelligence. Secondly, Antifa, if you really want to think about it, all those people landing at Normandy were Antifa. They were anti-fascists. And that's what they're trying to express, is that the country is going towards the fascist right. And the third thought I have, and then you can make a comment, if Biden wins the election, and has a nomination for the Supreme Court, I think he should choose a fundamentalist Muslim and see if the Republicans rebel against that religion, because they're making such a big deal, which I think is true, about Barrett's religion. You can give me your input.
Okay, yeah, I don't think they're making a big deal. I don't think the Democrats are making a big deal of...
No, they're not making a big deal, but the Republicans...
Yeah, they are. That's true, they are, yeah.
Well, put a Muslim up there and see what they say then.
All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Thanks for telling us what you think. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gus in Palm Harbor. Thank you, Gus, for calling. You're on MNF. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, Rob. Three quick points. One, David Gergen the other night talking about the election, compared the election to a baseball game, top of the eighth and you're up by three runs. You don't go to sleep. You're out there battling for every out you can get. Two, and watching TV commercials, programs that are being run that have been filmed, I believe, within the past 6 months. You don't see people commonly wearing masks. Three, I vote absentee. I turned in my ballot almost immediately after I received it here the first of the month. I went on the Supervisor of Elections website today, and I see that they received it and that my ballot has been counted.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, Gus, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Hey, be well.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Kevin writes this, Trump shows his true mettle whenever he's asked a tough question. His tough guy image is a facade. The one strength he does have is the ability to divide, writes Kevin. And then Charles in Tampa says, to Jeremiah's point, there's a big difference nowadays between truth and balance. And Rich was a perfect follow-up calling up, pretending that the only thing he hears in the right-wing echo chamber are true, even though most of them never happened, writes Charles in Tampa. And then Sarah writes this, a show last night on PBS paralleled the political rise of Biden and the financial rise of Trump. Trump used chaos, i.e. the financial instability of New York City at the early Trump times, to enrich himself. So to continue this, he has to create chaos because that's what has always worked for him, writes Sarah. Let's go to the person who's been holding the longest. That looks like Art in Largo. Art, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Rob, the only thing that Biden agreed with last night with Trump was his policy towards Israel. And, well, here we go with another presidential candidate putting Israel's national security above the U.S. national security. Someday, we will have a presidential candidate who will win the election without AIPAC's help. Yes, I voted for Biden, but... Unhappily, I did. So thanks, Rob.
All right, Art, thank you for your comments. Let's go to Norman in Zephyr Hills. Hi, Norman. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. When I was younger, raising my family, I did not tend to pay attention to politics very much. But one thing I did hear years ago was the Hearst empire of media was really criticized for its share of propaganda. Are you aware of what side they were accused of trying to hurt? I never did understand.
Hearst was
that
pretty much a conservative outlet. All those Hearst properties. I mean, you know, he had properties that didn't deal in politics, but the Hearst, when they got involved in politics, they leaned to the right. That's my understanding.
So the accusations against them are similar to what we're hearing now on the other side. So my point is, it's been going on a long time.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times your angst and anger comes from truth that hurts. Sometimes we hear things that are truthful and it just plain hurts and it fires us up, and then we start throwing accusations out. And if anybody I've ever heard that had a right to call somebody a name is you, because of the way you're attacked daily.
I rarely call somebody a name. That's really true.
Yeah. That's true. Why somebody would accuse you of that is beyond me.
All right,
I don't know what kind of ulcer medication you're on.
Norman, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you. Thank you, Norman. And Sue writes this, one thing I do notice, because I watch ABC News at 6:30, the quality and depth of news has gotten so bad. There's probably about 8 minutes of news in a 30-minute section. Mostly I hear the anchor, David Muir, say, when we come back, and then I hear commercial, commercial, commercial. I've noticed that a lot about especially the network TV news. Instead of having a 2 or 3 minute story, now the stories are down to 50 seconds or 90 seconds. It's very frustrating for me as a journalist trying to get more information. So what I do is I turn to the print media. I think that's where the quality information is. Let's go to Susan on Anna Maria Island. Susan, thanks for calling. What would you like to see or hear? Or what would you like to say? I'll get it right.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I've been sign waving lately, and we've had for Biden and Harris, and we've had really positive feedback. But one thing that really got to me, and I'll never forget it, our protocol is we don't engage. We just wave and have our signs. And we get some birds, some middle fingers. We get some FUs, not very many. But this one car came by. It had two adults in the front, and it had a child in the back, a boy, probably about 10 or 11. And they slowed down, and the little boy yelled, "Biden is an effing pedophile. F Biden, he's a pedophile." And that really got to me. I mean, politics is a dirty game. And don't use your children. Don't get them involved. I don't even know if that child knows what a pedophile means.
Yeah, what kind of brainwashing is that kid subjected to?
Horrible. It really, really got to me, so I just wanted to share that.
All right.
Thanks,
Susan. Eric writes this, just wanted to comment about the guy who just called in about the left being hypocrites and name-calling. He needs to keep in mind that the Republicans are the ones that started the whole snowflake thing. Those same Republicans do not call out their own president for name-calling. I don't blame you for having a short fuse with these right-wingers that called in. I'm mad as hell myself. As far as I'm concerned, it's time that the left gave the right a taste of their own medicine. Yeah, you know, I don't agree with name-calling. I think that caller should have engaged in a conversation. That's what I think. And he hung up. He threw a bomb and then hung up. Let's go to Joshua in Lakeland. Joshua, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I was just astounded when I heard about the retweet
of the SEAL Team 6 conspiracy theory.
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that's the SEAL Team 6 conspiracy theory.
The SEAL Team, I don't have my hearing aids in, I'm sorry. It was like, we all watched it. It was televised. The guys from SEAL Team 6 all came out and talked about it. They're not dead. And for 45, I can't even say his name, but for him to say that, oh, well, I didn't tweet it, I just retweeted it. No, if you retweet something, you own it. You tweeted it. That's how it works.
Yeah. Joshua, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making that point. If you retweet it, you own it. You're as the president, it's not just like your crazy uncle retweeting it. It's the president, and everybody's watching his tweets, and they are news every time he tweets. So when the president retweets something that's a conspiracy theory, and even some of the SEAL Team 6 have come out and criticized the president, even though the one guy that I read about was a Republican who had voted for President Trump, but he criticized the president for doing that. Greg writes this, the antibody cocktail that Trump received cost $100,000 per treatment. Is that really going to be available for every American, writes Greg. I hadn't seen the cost of what he got at Walter Reed, but I will look that up. And thank you, Greg, for pointing that out. I hope that I'll fact check that. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, yes, thank you. Wasn't Trump in the past accused of some kind of activity with an underage girl with all this talk about pedophiles? That was one thing I wanted to ask. And another thing is about like these right-wing groups like this militia that tried to kidnap the Michigan governor. Two of them, they said, I think they said two of them were ex-Marines. Has the U.S. Marines weighed in on this? And I'll get off and wait for your answers.
Okay, thanks a lot. Fran, I tried to look that up. There was a Facebook post that said that Donald Trump got exposed for raping a 13-year-old in retaliation for law enforcement officers killing black people. So did Trump rape a 13-year-old girl? That's been rated false by PolitiFact. No, I haven't been able to check any sort of other allegations. Well, I'm out of time. I wish I had more time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play those comments that you record on Monday at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Janelle is taking some time off to protect her family from COVID. She's worried about it, so she's staying home today. And we're going to hear the Tom Hartman program in the next hour. This is WMNF in Tampa.